Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Well, with parenting in the U.S. now getting more analysis than ever, in some ways it's hard to tell if children are now being raised in a way that's actually good for them. Someone that has some real insight on the dynamics of American parenting and where it goes wrong is Dr. Madeline Levine. She's spent 30 years with these unhappy children as a therapist. She's also a mother of three sons who attended high-pressure schools. Her latest book, Teach Your Children Well, Parenting for Authentic Success. Dr. Levine, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure, Michael.
So is your sense then that the efforts parents are now putting in and keeping their kids busy almost constantly with these skill-building activities does not lead to this authentic success?
I don't think it leads to any kind of success, frankly. Look, there is a developmental trajectory that kids have and have always had as they grow up. So there's a reason why, you know, little kids play in a playground and 8-year-olds bang a ball around and 15-year-olds talk to, you know, girls and all that kind of stuff, because there are different developmental tasks at different ages. And I think when we overstructure young kids, or any kids, frankly, but particularly younger kids, we get in the way of their exact developmental task, which is to look around the world, you know, with the kind of wonder that kids have and say, oh, that looks interesting. That looks interesting. Maybe I'll try this. Maybe I'll try that. And if you have your child scheduled, as some kids are, literally from morning till night, they only get to try a few things, right, because they're supposed to be in peewee soccer and then select soccer and then traveling soccer. Maybe they were supposed to be a baseball player.
Some parents would say, hey, look, my child apparently enjoys it. He does these activities, and there's no real indication that there's a problem. Could that be the case in most cases, that many kids do, in fact, thrive this way?
Yes. I think there are kids who love going out for soccer and playing it every weekend. But the issue still is that it means that they're not trying their hand at lots of different things. So they may enjoy soccer, but they may be cutting off a whole bunch of other options. Now, remember, I'm talking about 10-year-old kids, young kids. You know, by the time a kid is 14 or 15, it's a whole other story. And the other thing to remember about it is if kids are being overscheduled, and, you know, we may be talking about two slightly different things, like if your kid goes and plays an hour of sports every day after school, that's great. We have an obesity epidemic, and it's good for them to run around, and it teaches them, you know, leadership and a whole bunch of stuff.
I do want to ask you, when you're dealing with an 8- or 7-year-old child, how do they express their own sense of being overstressed this way?
Usually kids who are stressed tend to show it somatically. So the thing you want to be alert for are things like stomach aches and headaches and difficulty sleeping, those kinds of things. That's where kids tend to show their stress. But the other point I wanted to make to you, Michael, was if your kid's overscheduled, the kind of romanticized, you know, downtime that most of us had when we were kids, time to just like lay on your back or catch some salamanders or whatever it was that you found relaxing and quiet, doesn't exist for a lot of these kids. And I think that that's very problematic in terms of how do you find the time and space to figure out who you are, how you cope, how you pick yourself up when you've been disappointed in something. I mean, it takes time and energy to develop into a person.
I'm talking to Dr. Madeline Levine. Her latest book, Teach Your Children Well, Parenting for Authentic Success. Now, of course, these parents want the very best for their kids. How can they moderate this approach so that they are allowing their kids more variety and more time to more downtime?
Well, I'm co-founder of an organization at Stanford called Challenge Success, and we have this thing, PDS, Playtime, Downtime, Family Time. And obviously, playtime looks very different if you're 3 than if you're 13. But there should be some time every day for a kid to sit around, think about things, do nothing. And they're not really doing nothing. They're doing the work of childhood, which is figuring out what they want to do and what's interesting and stuff like that. So I think the way parents do it, or I found a good way to do it, was to, you know, make a ritual out of some part of the day that was family time. And that, for us, that was dinner. My husband was a surgeon. Sometimes meant that we had dinner at 9 o'clock at night, which was late. But it was a time every day where the family got together. And believe me, I have 3 sons. It wasn't like it was brilliant, introspective conversation all the time, although sometimes it was.
But nowadays, though, doesn't downtime for kids usually amount to playing video games or sitting there with your iPad playing Angry Birds? Isn't there a kind of a non-downtime to the downtime?
You know, I hate to tell you this, but I travel all over the country, and the first thing I do when I get to a new city is buy People magazine, which I think is my adult version of playing Angry Birds. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think everybody needs some time to put their brain in neutral, and the neuropsychological research right now is actually consolidation of information takes place best when kids are just kind of mindlessly doing something, which this is a really important point, because it puts a different, slightly different cast on that hour of video games or, you know, whatever it is, or IMing or texting, which is a period of time of doing sort of mindless work, like reading People magazine, actually serves not just a relaxing function, but it serves a neurological function.
Finally, though, parents that are in an environment where their children's friends are, in fact, very busy with activities, and if they pursue this kind of approach, they may get even a sense that their kids are not developing skill-wise in some ways to their peers. How are they supposed to accept that fact?
So, okay, and you're right. If you don't have your kid in soccer, because the American Academy of Pediatrics says, you know, repetitive stress injuries and kids shouldn't be playing a single sport all the time, and psychologists like myself are saying kids need some downtime, you hit a good point. You may, in fact, have a kid who's a little bit behind. But so what? I mean, we've become like CEOs, and we look, you know how a CEO looks at the bottom quarter each time to see how their investments are doing? We look at kids in the short run. And in the short run, there is a chance that your child may not do as well. But in the long run, you've provided them with far more important opportunities to develop themselves, to gain coping skills, to stay connected with the family. And I think it takes, you know, I mean, like I said, I had 3 kids. It takes an act of courage to say, no, you can't do this. I understand your friends are all doing it because parents have peer pressure like everybody else. But we think the family's more important, or you getting a good night's sleep is more important, or you spending time with friends is more important. That's what parents are for.
Now, you say 7, 8, 9 years old is one area of development, but when a child gets to be a teenager, that is a point where they can maybe start putting a little more pressure on, right?
Well, you know, pressure is an interesting word. I don't know that you want to put more pressure on a kid. I mean, I don't react particularly well to having a lot of pressure put on me.
Sure. Maybe filling the dance card up a little more. Maybe that's...
Right, sure. Having more is a 17-year-old more capable of having multiple activities? Of course they are, because they have hopefully learned some self-regulation. But if you haven't, yeah, I mean, a 6-year-old, 7-year-old doesn't have self-regulation. That's what they're trying to learn, right? Raise their hand in class, not hit their friends on the head. Those are the jobs they have to learn so that when they hit 17, they can tolerate more expectation and more pressure.
Dr. Madeline Levin, she's the author of the new book, her latest book, Teach Your Children Well, Parenting for Authentic Success. Dr. Levin, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure, Michael.
We'll be right. You too. And we will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.